This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, buddy, hour 5, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. We're heading for Surprise, Arizona on Monday. If you hadn't heard, it'll be Mike Bassick's final week of broadcasting here with us at the Fans, who are excited to fellowship and broadcast with him next week. He'll be going to do Rangers play-by-play on television there as the analyst. So salute to him. It's time now to chat more baseball. Here's Wolchuk with that proper round tripper every night at 6.
All right, let's do this. Adolis Garcia has his sights set on 50 dong balls this season. Now, he crushed a career high last year, or 2 years ago in the World Series run, 39 homers in just 148 games, mind you. I think he absolutely could hit the 50 dong ball mark, especially if he plays 150 games. I think it's very possible. And I just love the fact that he's saying that. Jared mentioned he shared that his knees are feeling healthy, he's strong, and that he's worked on improving his bat speed. His bat speed did decline year over year from 73.5 miles per hour to 72 miles per hour last year. That might have just the knees, right? He wasn't feeling as healthy. But I think this is crotch first confidence, which means that he is feeling like, my body's healthy, I'm ready to rock, I'm the best I've felt since that World Series run. 50 homers, I'd love to see it. And you're talking about a potential league MVP if that's the case.
Yeah, you know, and I think he's got the talent to do it. It's a matter of, can you get hot? Right, because he is a streaky hitter. Can he get hot and stay hot twice during the year? Because, you know, he's got 15 homers in a month, definitely in that bat. I think he's capable of it. I love the confidence. I love finding out that he's healthy and he's made adjustments to his swing that give him that confidence. Can't wait to watch him. What's his high? Is it in the high 30s or something like that?
It might be the 39. That might be his career high that he hit in 2023.
2023 at 39.
Yep, there you go.
Well, yeah, that's doable then.
Yep,
that's 11 more bombskis.
Yeah. I think it's possible. Rangers are showing interest in left-handed pitcher Jose Quintana, according to Francis Romero. He's 36 years old. He's a free agent. Of course, he's bounced around. He was with the Cincinnati Reds for a little while. I think he spent time with the Mets as well. But maybe that's just to add some more. You know, that could be a minor league deal. And then they've just got another arm. Could he end up being a bullpen piece? I don't know what their vision would be for Quintana, but there's a reported interest there and flirtation.
This is the Rangers?
The Rangers,
Rangers,
yeah.
Interested in Jose Quintana. Isn't he a starter?
He was a starter. Left-handed. Maybe they just want some more left-handed arms. They got a lot of righties.
It feels like I've been hearing his name forever. Okay, so
you have.
He debuted in the big leagues in 2012. Last year had an ERA of 3.75. So that's fun. Even though he's up there in age, what do you think they're thinking there? Because they're so deep in their rotation. Is this a possibility for a bullpen piece?
That's initially I thought maybe bullpen. It also might be, you've got so many guys that might kind of be on an innings restriction with Rocker. Malley, is he on any type of restriction? Bradford, guys that have had injury history. It could also just be insurance, basically. And I do think, I mean, you got Cody Bradford. Otherwise, you got a bunch of right-handed starting pitching. Do you want to just have another lefty as an option for you? And he would add
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. You need more. I know they got one good one, but they need more.
Okay, here is the win total projections for 2025. You like what they have with the Rangers. Obviously, the Dodgers, they're predicted to get the most wins. Win average is 101 for them this year. Braves at 2, Yankees at 3, Mets at 4, Phillies at 5. They do have the Astros projected just a win more than your Rangers. Rangers average 87.7 wins, all right?
87?
87 wins. Expectation is a bounce back for them after winning it all. Rangers entered last season with the Hall of Fame IL. That lineup regressed, but with Texas just behind Houston in the pecking order, a rounding error from division favorite status, things are looking up. Still, Rangers need DeGrom to hold up, Rocker, lighter to develop. More than anything, they'll have to figure out the bullpen. But 87 over under, 87.5 wins for your Rangers. I think I'll take the over there, boys.
You know, the only way to do it as a fan, I think, is to take the over on this one. It doesn't feel inflated at all. I think they're sort of hedging their bet because they're not sure where this thing's going to go. But you think CY's messing around when it comes to team building? You think he's going to take, hey, we had the World Series. It's hard. No, he's gone out there and grinded his butt off and found some incredible players on great budget contracts to make this thing happen. Houston lost Presley the reliever. They lost Bregman. They lost Verlander. I think I'm even forgetting a guy. I don't know how, with all the struggles they had last year. And
Kyle Tucker, that's who. That's
yeah, Kyle Tucker. I don't know how you could see that being that way, considering when you look at the Rangers lineup now. I mean, you could probably go through it off the top of your head, but it is absurdly talented.
It's much better. It's much better than the Strohs. And I think the starting pitching, if healthy on paper, will be better than the Strohs as well. And that's probably the first time we've been able to say that for a while. Astros did sign Brendan Rodgers, who is a Gold Glove winning second baseman. Now they're doing this because Altuve is taking some run in the outfield. So Mauricio Dubon figures to be a keystone on days with Altuve in left, at least to start the season. But as it stands, Rodgers could work himself into the picture with a strong showing this spring. They also did sign Christian Walker as well. So they've still got some pop in that lineup. But I think the Rangers overall, this is the first time in, what, a decade that we can look and say, I think they are top to bottom just a better club than the Houston Astros going into this season. Part of that will be obviously the health of Evan Carter. Now, a position change. This has been interesting in Major League Baseball as of late, because you had Rafael Devers, who said, I'm not conceding third base after the Alex Bregman signing in Boston. He said, no, third base is my position. It's what I play. I don't know what their plans are. We had a conversation. I made it clear on what my desires were. Whatever happens from here, I don't know. So then Bregman's asked about this. And Bregman, well, he has the company answer. I'll play wherever the hell they want me to play.
Yeah.
That translates to the Texas Rangers as well. Center field, Evan Carter's natural position. He did not play that in the World Series run because that was Leody's spot. There's been a lot of rumor rooskies. Does Leody get traded? Here was Evan Carter on his relationship with Leody Taveras.
He's been my best friend all offseason. Like, we trained together all offseason. You know, we've hit together. When all the coaches came here, it was just me and him in the cage flipping each other. He was my throwing partner. Like, we're great friends, you know. And, yeah, that is where I love to play, and that's where I know that I'm at my best, because that's where I've always played. That's where I'm most comfortable. But at the end of the day, too, I pride myself in being able to play all three. So wherever I fit in, at the end of the day, you got to hit. So if I'm hitting, I'll fit in somewhere.
I love that, but I do think Evan Carter, if healthy, I'd love him at center field. I mean, the way he's able to move, the question will just be the back. But if he is his full self, there's no question. I think he's the best center fielder on the team.
Yeah, and from my understanding, playing center field is not the concern here. It's the torque and the power involved in getting that bat through the strike zone, right? So if he can handle that, you know, center field is going to be no problem other than the, you know, the random reaching injury or something like that. So, you know, this is a player that the success of this season and next season hinges greatly on. But as we talked about yesterday, I don't think right now you can count on Evan Carter for the long term. You can hope, you know, as you look out into 27, 28, 29, when you have a young player his age and his talent, you're like, okay, great, we're locked in here for the next 12 years. But, you know, you got to take it while you can right now with Evan Carter and pray and keep your fingers crossed that he can, you know, continue in the long term.
Top 10 second baseman, according to Buster Olney. Where does Marcus Semien come in? Well, your top 10, you got Chaz Chisholm of the Yankees, Nick Horner of the Cubs, Luis Garcia Jr. of the Nats, Brendan Donovan of the Cardinals, Andres Jimenez from the Toronto Blue Jays, Jonathan India from the Kansas City Royals. Altuve, Bregman, since he's probably going to play second base with the Red Sox because Devers doesn't want to move. And number two, right behind Ketel Marte of the Diamondbacks, Marcus Semien. If the Rangers' offense is going to bounce back, Bruce Bochy will need more from Semien, whose on-base percentage dipped to .308 last season. But even in a down year, still 23 homers, scored 101 runs. Semien also continues to be an elite defender. That's not going away. But I do think we've seen the history. Jared made a fair point, the age. But any time Marcus has had a down year, he has responded in a big way the following season. Hopefully this year it follows suit, even being in his mid-30s now.
Yeah, I'm just banking on last year's down year for him just being a fatigue issue, and I'm hopeful that a new long offseason and a more refreshed Marcus Semien will be a much better version of himself.
Yeah, and he's got 4 years left on his contract.
He does.
There's no reason at 34 with his habits, his work ethic, that he should be over the hill or expired. You know, a guy that parties his balls off and, you know, is constantly hurt, you can see that career ending at 34 or even earlier. But I'd be surprised if you don't get a big bounce back from Semien.
Now, first base, Rangers are probably going to go with the tandem of Berger and Peterson. They don't have a first baseman that ranked in the top 10. In fact, Nathaniel Lowe, who they traded to the Nats, is an honorable mention. But number three on Buster Olney's top 10 first baseman, Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Let's go.
Of the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, Vlad Guerrero Jr. did not get a long-term deal reached with Toronto as, well, they couldn't come together on the money. He's 25 years old. Vlad said they have their numbers. I have my numbers in regards to why they didn't get a contract extension worked out. If you look at many sites, the Rangers are viewed as one of the favorites to land Vlad Guerrero Jr. In fact, CBS Sports put out who are the top landing spots. Rangers came in at number 7 among the contenders list. They're gearing up for a bounce back season. They openly discussed wanting to dial down spending after the championship, but if they want to ramp things back up, Guerrero is a great start. Every ingredient needed for a mutually beneficial marriage is here. Rangers could use a first baseman long term. And Vladdy, boy, he's certainly some pop that I think every team would love to add. I'd be interested in looking at maybe a Vlad Guerrero Jr. We'll see how the season goes. Could it be a deadline move to put you over the top, depending on where the offense is and depending on the health of the rest of the team?
Now, would you say he's a good defensive first baseman? Like, what are we looking at here? Is he the full package?
I don't know. I don't view him as being an elite defensive first baseman. But yeah. I don't think that he's like a massive downgrade on what you've had there with like Nathaniel Lowe.
Well, I mean, you're looking at 35 homers.
The baseball savant, new thing I'm kind of getting into here. Poor range and
did see that
good arm strength. Better than average arm strength, but very, very poor range.
Yeah, he doesn't move very well.
He's playing first, probably.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's exciting. How realistic is it with Ray McDuck over there?
I mean, I wonder, I don't know. I kind of heard like this would be a no-go from a Rangers standpoint a year ago, like around the deadline when Vlad Guerrero Jr. was kind of being discussed then to Toronto. It's kind of been considered Toronto and him aren't going to get a deal done. So last year, he was a guy that was talked about being moved, and I heard no from a Rangers standpoint. Now, could that be they're not really interested in the player long term? I don't know, but timing is everything. And I think if you have the option to land a guy like this who's in his prime right now and could be one of the best hitters in the sport for the next 5 years, you'd have to seriously consider it.
So coming off your payroll next year, John Gray at 13 mil, Tyler Mahle at 16, Adolis Garcia at 9.2, Higashioka is going to have an option. You know, but you have a chance easily to look at $40 million just with those first three guys I mentioned. Now, you might have a starting pitching issue, but maybe Jack Leiter or Kamar Rocker are booing you there, and you're ready to infuse some more offense. It'd be great if about midseason Toronto would just take back Semien for him.
I'll tell you what, it's interesting. Gosh. Like, if you look at this, like the hitting numbers, everything about it is just is like these graphs, and it's all the way to the right, like 100%. Like
elite
he's
hitter.
In the 90 percentile in most every batting category that you're going to have. His problems are fielding and base running.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two major issues. But everything about his batting run value is like he's beyond like great. Like his numbers will tell you that, you know, he's like, he's gonna score runs, he's gonna get hits, you know. Man, but like I say, the fielding part, the running part's not great at all.
And it could be the defense that CY looks at and is like, yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
The Rangers did win a World Series by having a dominant defense, especially on the infield. So maybe that's something that puts them off, right? Yeah. But gosh, that power, that is no joke that Vlad's bringing to the table.
Hard hit balls, barreling up the ball. All these things are just like exit velocity. Every one of them are off the charts when you look at the graphs of him and as far as a hitter.
With a butt like that, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
You think he can wear a fanny pack?
Quite the wagon. I think you could probably put 40 fanny packs around him.
He's holding those up.
Yeah. All righty. Thank you, Woolchuck. There it is, man. Around the bases. We'll try to do it every night at 6 o'clock here for the duration of the Rangers season. So if you love them like we do, join us here every night at about 6 o'clock. Now, Sports Hodgepodge coming up next. Chief, where are you taking it?
We have a coach rant of the day, and is this an offer you would accept?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back, nation. This segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call Franklin. Frankel first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's time now for a sports hodgepodge. Although Brian looks like he wants to say something first.
Yeah,
he's got that look in his eye.
That's a record.
Yeah, Mark Worden is a loyal Tolo, and he said, no, the Ropers are shorter than cowboy boots.
Oh, okay.
You know, he says cowboy boots, all the way up, they don't go all the way up to your calf. And I, you know, I, Okay, he's right about that.
Easier to run in.
That's what he says the difference is. And I always thought it was the toe because the toe is rounded on a roper. So I thought that's what, but he's right. It's the shorter of the boots. So thank you very much for listening, sir, and correcting me when I need to be corrected.
Thank you, Broadus. Here's the chief of that sports hodgepodge.
Yes, okay, 877-881-1053. We just got word that there's optimism that LeBron James will be able to play tonight. Luka and the Lakers will be playing the Hornets. So you will have, which is the interesting side story of sort of that was the trade. Those are the two teams that made the trade that ended up being null and void. So Dalton Knecht and the big man from Charlotte that was supposed to go to the Lakers, and now he's probably going to play with an extra chip on his shoulder tonight. Maybe want to look at taking some of the overs or the mores on Prize Picks for his particular numbers. But I do want us to guess the Luka Prize Picks more and lesses here. His numbers haven't really been great in the couple of games that he has played.
Had a few days off,
but now he's a little bit rested. And again, it looks like LeBron might be able to actually play tonight, even though we thought with the ankle that kept him out of All-Star Weekend was going to keep him out for the next couple of games. So perhaps LeBron is going to play. But the Luka numbers, what do you think on points for Luka tonight? What do you think the line is?
I'm thinking 26.5, and it's an easy over.
Wow, okay, I like that. Broadus, you got the same type of confidence. I was going to go 24.5. I don't know why that number.
24.5, okay.
And that's probably why I'm leaning over wherever that number is, because of two consecutive games low. I think maybe the public's thinking, oh, it's a LeBron thing, or he's just not comfortable there yet. But over the break, they've talked to him like, hey, we want you to go play your Luka basketball. So I think he's going to say, hey, watch this tonight, especially with LeBron's not 100%.
Broadus, what's the points? Guess that line.
I'm thinking that thing. I was trying to look up and see what he's done against Charlotte in the past.
Apparently, he's been kicking their ass.
That's what I'm saying. Why do I always remember like watching games and think he was like scoring 40 points a night against them?
Yeah.
But I couldn't get to it fast enough. I'm going to agree with Dawson. I think he's going to go the over on this one. What's the over of what, 26? Is that what you said?
That's what we're about to find out from Wolchuk here, the actual number's going to be.
I think it's over 20. Yeah, I'm going to go over 28.
28.
Ooh, get a 30 burger going.
25 points is the more or less. I'm going to hammer the more on that.
Okay. Okay, more for the 25 there. So
LeBron's,
that's where they have the line.
23.5.
I'd probably go under on that.
Less on the LeBrons?
Or the less, excuse me. Son of a gun.
And then Miles Bridges is at 20 points.
Does that invalidate your ticket if he doesn't play?
If he doesn't play, you're good to go. It doesn't count against you.
Really?
Yeah, you're all right. So either your ticket, if you only put it in, like you only have two players and it was LeBron and somebody else, then they'll just eliminate LeBron. It'll eliminate the ticket. If you've got other ways to win on the ticket, you can still win that way. Because sometimes the flex plays, you need like 3 out of the 5 or something to hit.
Like that.
But they won't count the LeBron miss against you.
After my recent run of sports gambling, I don't know if I could hit 3 of 5 even, but I like those odds better.
I mean, Prize Picks is fun. They're definitely like trying to give you the money.
Yeah, I have a lot of, now? I've had plenty of ups and a lot of downs.
Attention? No, I'm laughing. Our buddy Red.
Yeah.
Red, how's Red doing?
He's doing,
Red,
he's doing well. He's listening. He's trying to coach me up on ropers now. Like, okay, now I get more information. He's saying ropers have a flat heel like a street shoe instead of the taller riding heel that a traditional cowboy boot has.
The old ropey doke.
Ropers.
Looks more like an Ugg boot at that point.
Yeah, what are we talking? Ew, it does.
I'm just
like, okay, I see. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just kind of like everybody. Are we talking about ropers? And now I'm getting like,
because you got to get down and run. You got to get down and be. If you're, I'm assuming it's for calf roping.
Yeah, but cowboy boots like a longer heel. I think it's to sit in the what's it called, the
stirrup.
Stirrup. Yeah. Hmm. I think you have to have a longer heel so your stirrup.
Like ranch hand boots.
Yeah.
You're doing all the work.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that, Eric.
No, it was back educational
to,
for
Red,
me.
Good to,
I think I want to try some ropers, though, because I've always found the actual cowboy boot incredibly uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. You need some dingoes.
Okay.
And expensive if you're really trying
get some ostrich skin, bro.
Yeah.
Snake skins.
Set you back about $2,000-$3,000, maybe.
Pythons.
Not if I'm sitting in that room over there.
Some pythons. Yeah.
Hey, I lost my boots. Oh, they're in the broadcast.
Those were yours?
Those are yours?
Kind of an up for grabs.
I'm like, yeah. Those
thought they were
mine.
Promotionals.
Yeah, I thought that was community.
Yeah. Don't mind their stitch, my son's name on them.
Oh, there's a name on them?
All right, we have our coach rant of the day. College basketball features a handful of funny gentlemen. We have
Rick Pitino,
Bruce Pearl for sure. Hurley is outstanding.
Goated.
But how about our guy Mick Cronin, who makes an appearance from time to time, dude? This
guy's UCLA, right?
Yes, he absolutely hates his team. He hates his players.
He needs to be
and
fired.
He's criticized them a lot.
Wow, he needs to be fired.
He is now
I think
he's
trying to get fired.
Well, he's got to get one more win because he's sitting at 499 career wins. He's trying to get the ever elusive 500. And last night, his team was up by 17 points and blew the game.
No way.
So he's ticked, but he's done the thing where he's lashed out at his players a couple of times this year, and he's got some backlash. So he's changing up the way he's criticizing them. And he's really, you can hear zero sarcasm in his voice here. He is clearly taking all of the blame. He knows that he is the problem. He's the reason why he doesn't have 500 wins yet. He's the reason why his team blew a 17-point lead. Take it away, Mick Cronin.
You're up 29-12. Do you feel like guys just kind of took it for granted at that point? That
You have to ask them that. I feel like we didn't play well. And if I say anything, then I throw players under the bus. So here's what, we didn't play well, we're poorly coached.
Ooh.
That's why we don't play well. So poorly, we were so poorly coached, we didn't know Dawson Garcia was gonna spin back to his left hand. We had two guys on him and let him lay it in. So I guess we didn't go over that. I guess we didn't go over, don't let him just stand there and shoot it. I guess we didn't go over, converge on him like everybody else in our league does. I guess we didn't go. We just guess we didn't go over it. So it's all on me.
It's all on me.
There you go.
That's how
Rick Carlisle.
That's how you lead from the front, right there.
It's all on me.
Yeah.
You got to take ownership. Look in the mirror. Okay. Get back to the drawing board as a coach. All right. It's not always about just execution. What was the plan? Okay. How prepared did you have your guys? So shout out to Mick Cronin, and he'll get that number 500. He will.
He's been trying for like 3 weeks now. What's he doing?
I don't know exactly how long he's been trying at this, but last night it was there for the taking, up 17, and then they urinated it away.
Wow, that's disrespect. Hey, that I can't wait to see what the next generation of coaches is like, right? Are they going to be on this Xennial and below type of vibe where I'm real sensitive and considerate to everything, or is that going to be like, because this dude's Gen X, you know, mm-hmm. there's toxicity flowing, there's frustration.
Right.
I mean, you were raised by baby boomers. Life was hectic in the 80s, mm-hmm. you know, so you're bringing trauma mm-hmm. onto the job if you were a Gen Xer. I don't know. These young folks, they just, you know, they're big difference in how the world is. And they're going to need, I think, those kind of coaches eventually, you know, that kind of see things on their wavelength. At least if I was an organization, I'd be looking for that kind of a deal.
Yeah, it's a tough balance to strike there. Some guys you're starting to see more of that, and I think you'll see we'll continue to see more of an influx of that, but then everything will turn back at some point and be like, our coaches have gone soft and now we need some more hard asses in here, you know. So it'll be a bit cyclical. Now we did get the news after the Delta, the newest plane conundrum that we find ourselves in, the Toronto plane flipping.
Thanks for flying with us today.
Just saw that Delta is offering $30,000 to each passenger that was on the flight that crashed in Toronto. And if the passengers accept, the company would dish out, it would end up being a little over $2 million that they're dishing out if they're going $30,000 a pop for the amount of people that were on that flight. And a spokesperson did say that the money is simply just a gesture with, quote, no strings attached and does not impact rights, whatever that means. So I guess maybe you can
write for a lawsuit.
You can
still?
Keep the $30,000 and still sue.
Yeah.
I would imagine you could. So, but the Delta CEO said that the pilots on the plane were experienced. This wasn't like a rookie pilot situation. Yeah. And I do think there was a fair amount of pilot error involved with this particular accident.
That thing looks like it just slammed down on the ground.
It did.
Like it didn't have its wheels down. It had its wheels down, I'm sure, but
there's a term for it. Like they didn't flare something. They were kind of going too nose first and they were coming
flaps,
in clearly way too hot.
Too steep?
Yeah, they were coming in too steep with the nose down.
Yeah.
And
maybe
then
he was trying to fight the wind. He was probably trying to fight the wind.
The wind ended up fighting him.
I don't know. If you're a pilot, text in because I'm probably talking about stuff I don't know.
I mean, the unfortunate thing is these airline investigations take forever. It might be years down the road, and it's not that difficult to figure out, you know.
Would
but
you take
I just
the money.
They don't. If I don't have to sign something that I can't sue, I would take the money.
Yeah.
Like
that's free money then. But otherwise, they're getting more money in a lawsuit. Delta knows that. That's why they're ponying up to $2 million.
What do you get to sue?
Negligence.
For? Pilot error.
Trauma.
Yeah. Hurt an accident, not your fault.
Injuries.
Frankel's would tear these guys up.
I saw one theory said maybe he left it on idle pilot too long. It was like, oh, dang, I got to land this thing, and down we go.
Some of them planes, they do land with computer, but this is a smaller plane. This is like a commuter plane, right, Chief? Isn't it like one of their smaller ones? Like, you know, I don't think there were a lot of passengers on board.
I think there was like 80-something passengers. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's not like one of their big old planes.
No, I don't think it was
80 passengers. Yeah. All 80 passengers and crew members on the Delta flight survived, but two were critically injured.
CRJ-900.
Yeah, like the injured folks are thinking, man, if you're giving everybody 30K, even the unscathed, I should be getting way more than
that.
Where do you
think the injured people were sitting?
I have no idea.
I don't know. They broke their fall with their necks, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were older people's.
Oh, wow.
Not too old. They're like 60, but they were older.
So they got knocked out of their seats?
I think it was, that maybe they didn't have their seatbelt on. You know, there's always somebody that's like,
they were trying
I'm
to
good.
Stand up to get to the...
Man, took a nap.
That ain't funny, bro.
I mean... no, seriously, like...
Prepare for landing.
Like this,
shoot,
like this,
I'm about to get the hell up.
Like, the flight attendants always come by and they make sure your seatbelt's buckled, right? Except for, like, Dawson, you fake them out, don't you?
I do.
I know you do. Because you're going to get up quickly and get your bag and get off the plane.
Well, I don't think I'll ever be on a plane without a seatbelt on after this one. But up until this point,
we get to test this theory on Sunday.
Are y'all going to clap when it lands?
Yeah. Woo! All right. Let's be warranted now.
Yeah. I thank the pilot. I go, thanks for your skill, sir.
You know, I'm pretty paralyzed until we get to the gate. You know,
she can't move. Please,
I'm
God,
man. The anxiety
stop.
Is horrible.
As soon as the plane stops.
I might go to the doctor and be like, can you help me? Right. I need Xanax or something.
Why don't you go with some shrooms?
Beta blockers.
Shrooms would be a great idea.
Yeah. We'll get you off the plane, maybe.
That'll calm
down
the imagination.
Somebody get Dawson. Oh, we forgot him. Dawson's just hanging upside down.
I'm going to be getting bit by the noid mid-flight, just having an all-out freak out. I think a shroom flight would be the ultimate bet payoff.
You're not going to scream and make us turn around, are you?
Oh, I would never do that.
I mean, I hate flying with you, but I don't
Give me some psilocybin. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, so...
There's a man on the wing.
No, I was thinking
that
more
was
like,
a great episode.
That's going to be Dawson.
He opens the.
There's a man on the wing.
There's a man on the wing.
What was that sound?
Yeah. Man,
William
I'm telling
Shatner.
You.
Yeah.
You know,
Twilight Zone.
I can look around and see people that are more uneasy than me, and that kind of gives
me. You sit
and
across
the
room.
I always look
one.
At the flight attendants.
Yeah. If they look like, nervous, do you like? Is that how you gauge?
I've never seen them nervous. You know,
if they sit down early. If they sit down early, I'm usually pretty nervous. If they're not up doing the service kind of stuff and they're sitting down, I'm thinking the pilot told them, man, you need to sit down.
Buckle up.
Buckle up. We're about to fly through some stuff. Yeah.
The turbulence. Well, 30K, I don't know. I think I'm going to need a lot more than that. Just, I think we
Me
all
too.
Agree.
Yeah, especially after watching Landman. You know, you have a big accident. The lawyers are firing. They're getting there. They want to buy you out.
Yeah.
You know,
they're trying to get out of this company as little as possible. $2 million, that's light work for Delta.
Yeah.
I want triple that minimum.
Okay, you guys remember
the six figures here.
Yachts. We reported the new Post Malone.
As you're walking down the... Yeah.
My back.
Got some money. Here we go. Yeah.
I can't sit correctly for the rest of my life. Millions, please.
Yeah, dude. For the ones
fall
that are
down
hurt.
When you get outside the plane.
Okay,
we're going
so Post Malone, though.
Yeah, we got the Post Malone Oreos. Remember? We talked about those. Chocolate top, and then you have the swirled salted caramel and shortbread flavor cream in the middle. And then you have the golden base, so it's like a yin and yang kind of deal.
So 50-50.
It sounds like they were kind of stretching the limits of what Oreo is really capable of. Could they thread this needle? Turns out, 9 out of 10, yes, they could, according to our guy Gojo, who does his food reviews.
He likes them.
Yeah.
He said, 9 out of 10 on the Post Malone Oreos. He says they're big and loud. You get every flavor that they promise. which feels rare, he says. And he's obviously the best arbiter for this.
Yeah, usually that the cream, when they change it up, I said it when we told us about this, I was nervous because the cream's not good.
He says it's built for volume more than speed because you want time to sit with all the flavor and appreciate all the different tones. And he says the next celebrity Oreo, if this is going to be, you know, become a thing, has a high bar to clear. Wow. So, I mean, he sold this in a beautiful way. And now I'm going to be on a beeline to my nearest grocer.
Stop on the way home.
Have to get some of these. Yeah. I mean, I wonder if you could evolve this into a Post Malone Oreos cookie, like a cookies and cream ice cream that is with his Oreos.
Just grind them up.
So we're there right now? We're at the store right now?
Yeah, they're at the store now.
Yeah, I've seen them available.
They're for the taking. Not the ice cream, just the actual Oreos themselves.
Just grind them up and put them in, you know.
Mash them into your Bluebell vanilla?
Yeah.
They have another one that's like cookies and cream ice cream inside of your normal Oreo cookies that also look fantastic.
Oh, okay. So that's just
encouraging. Yeah, stick with the flavor profile.
It's Oreo stuffed in Oreo. And it's like, who wouldn't want more Oreo?
I was actually talking about this with KNC earlier today. We were talking about ice cream. And I wish that they would level up. I love cookie dough ice cream, but there's just, I wish they
you just
would
like cookie dough, period.
Yes. I think that like the ratio of cookies and cream, like the cookies to the actual ice cream, it's wonderful. There's always an abundant amount of cookies in the cookies and cream.
Raw dough.
The cookie dough, they need to up the ratio. More chunks of it. I would say like they need to go like 3-1. With the ratio here of just at least double up on the amount of cookie dough in the cookie dough ice cream. And I think that would become a much more of a bestseller. It's good, but you need more. You need
more cookie dough.
It's like one out of every probably three or four bites, you get like a good chunk of cookie dough.
Same thing with brownies. Like anytime they do like a fudgy, chunky brownie, not a lot of brownie chunks in there.
Yeah, that's interesting because I feel the same way about Oreo and I feel like there's too much cookie dough.
I agree.
Really? I think they need to put real like Pillsbury at the grocery store cookie dough in there.
Okay, I won't argue with that.
I love that.
Let's not half-ass the cookie dough. I'm totally down for that.
Chunky,
but I'm always looking for more Oreo, especially when you get the big chunk that still has the icing in there.
It's a beautiful feeling.
I always save it for the end.
Of course you do.
It's a home run.
But yeah, that would be my one ice cream complaint.
And then I did want to follow up on Post Malone doing Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit. You know, maybe these guys don't know about it.
Ooh, I heard his rendition was awesome. Was that you disagree? I didn't hear it.
It was okay. I just want like popular musicians to maybe stay in their genre, you know, like because I he's really good at what he did. And now we're doing country. Oh, we're doing grunge.
We're trying to do too much here.
And, you know, I was like a 7 out of 10 on Post Malone with his original music style. I'm not even sure what you call it, but it was fun.
I think that's what Beyonce's done for us because they can cross over. They get more fans, get more money, potentially win Grammy.
Taylor Swift,
country
pop,
music's having just goes off. It does something to the brand to me, where I'm like, I'm not sure what to make of this. You know, maybe I just got to listen to it more. Okay, thank you again. Four Nations final on the Fan tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Right at this time, we'll be getting set to hand it off to hockey play-by-play of an incredible showdown between the USA and Canada. We're back with the Fan After Dark here in the Nation. Thank you, Lucius. Fan After Dark here, top of the hour. Tomorrow at this time, Four Nations final. Okay, according to the FBI, the burglars who had stolen from Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Joe Burrow and all those guys, they'd hide out in the woods while monitoring the patterns of security guards and then break into the homes of wealthy athletes. Apparently, they were able to monitor like the schedules of authorities and police investigators and security teams that were watching over the homes. I mean, this sounds like a pretty well put together outfit, but they were undone by selfies that they posted on an iCloud for their co-conspirators to FOMO over, apparently.
Well, but you saw that they got caught. The initial group got caught in Cincinnati, and they were going. So there was an article a couple of weeks ago. We talked about it briefly, where the guys got caught, and they were saying they were trying to go to Florida. They're leaving Ohio. And the cop's like, well, you know you're going the wrong way if you're trying to go to Florida.
Oh.
And, of course, you know, they didn't broken English, and so they're all kind of like, oh, okay. So that's then they searched this is 2 weeks off. So then they searched the car, all right? And like I said, a bunch of Hispanic dudes. Not to say Hispanic people can't like LSU, but then they go and look in the back of the car, and they start going through everything, and they're like, okay, wait a minute. It's LSU. Then they start seeing some of Joe Burrow. The one dude's wearing a Bengals beanie. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My man's in the passenger seat, broken English, wrong way to Florida, got some LSU gear in the back seat. Oh, and I'm wearing a Cincinnati Bengal beanie. Mm.
Yes. Like cleats, and they had a haul of that trunk.
Man, they had a lot of good stuff.
I just don't understand the whole schedule thing. Are these rich people having a break in their schedule where there's just nobody watching the house? Or I get, obviously, you're switching shifts, but I think when you're watching house, you'd be very cognizant of everything going around. Like,
would
hey,
you though?
I would think. I mean, was there a break that
if
big
you're
of a
rich,
break?
You're not worried about people in the woods.
No, I'm just saying the security. Like, was there that big of a break where they go, oh, yeah, we can break into the house? There's a 2-hour break or a 30-minute break. I don't know.
Because they were breaking windows and jimmying sliding glass doors to get in. So I don't know. You know, they weren't making enough money to pay off the security. I think their total haul for the last couple of years was just $3 million worth of stuff, which you're not going to get face value for.
No.
The secondary market, as I'm sure you're aware, Fred. Shady character.
I was a cop reporter. Thank you very much. So that's.
I'm loving the get up today with the headphones and the jeans.
Yeah, I never wear the. It's been a rough day. I forgot my badge at the house. I forgot my headphones. So thankfully, we've got some extra ones here. So, but jeans. I've worn jeans to the station before. So okay.
I don't know why jeans is so weird.
Because he doesn't wear them.
Thank you.
The jeans itself in a vacuum are not weird. Jeans on Fred. Aren't.
What do you usually wear? Shorts?
Shorts.
I wear shorts literally every day.
Yeah, like basketball shorts.
But today, well, no, I've got some Wrangler shorts that I wear.
Oh, some Wranglers.
Yes, that's right.
Wranglers.
That's right. Wranglers.
To wrangle.
That's right. I save basketball shorts for the weekend.
Okay.
Because I mean, we've all worked weekends. I mean, it's a free-for-all.
It's time to hoop.
That's right.
Sure is a free-for-all.
Adolis Garcia, 50 home runs. You buying this?
That's crazy. I mean, hey, tell you what. What do they say? Shoot for the moon, land among the stars, whatever the hell they call it. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you nailed that. He's only 11 off his career high. Why not? Are you letting your Astros color show here a little bit too much, Fred?
No, I'm being hurt. I'm being a realist. Okay. I mean, hey, look.
You've seen the man's physique.
Great. A lot of good. You know, a lot of
power.
A lot of look like Tarzan, play like James
Oppo power.
Wow.
Oppo to right field power to win the game.
I hope it happens. What did he bat last year? 230?
He was bad.
I get it. No, but I'll tell you what, you're going to need Adolis, right?
It's your Houston bias coming out here.
Hey. Tips.
Golly.
Any other great baseball
take
wisdom?
Take the Astro out of Houston, but you can't take the Astro out of the guy.
224. I do have an Astro logo tattooed on my body. So
what?
We'll get that covered up.
That was a bad payoff, though. Regrettable.
It was.
We could probably get you a deal to get that removed.
Look, I don't ever admit that again.
Stamp?
I'll do a Rangers tattoo not Cowboy, but I'll do a Rangers tattoo.
Right on, bud.
What's coming up on the show tonight? What's that?
We got to go. What's coming up on the show?
Oh, what's coming up on the show? Matt Timpanic. He's a sports agent. We're going to talk to him a little bit about this whole Joy Taylor thing, get into the Justin Tucker stuff. And he's got two clients, one of which the Cowboys are looking at. So we'll talk to him about that as well. And then, of course, we'll do a little fair foul. Haikus tonight as well. And then, of course, we're getting the boot for USA.
Come on.
Go America tomorrow night.
USA.
So enjoy
USA.
It. USA.
Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup at Master Control here. 75 and Fitzhugh just went 5 flawless. Once again, Wolchuk and Chiafalo and Broadus, the Fan After Dark. Fred and Blake's coming up next. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the nation. At ease.